Let's please turn our Bibles to Jeremiah 23:5. Last week, Dustin taught. He came when I came back when he was done talking. And he goes, "Man, you left me a good chapter." There's one like oasis in the middle of Jeremiah, and it's the prophecy in chapter 23 about Jesus coming. And so that's kind of good. And every once in a while, you know, Jeremiah does go from what people would say is doom and gloom to then, and we're going to see it today if we get far enough, we're going to see where it just jumps to the end days. Doom and gloom, yes, but there is an eternity where God's going to fix everything. And so we're picking up at the very end of what Dustin covered last week in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David, a descendant of David, a branch of righteousness." Who's that? King Jesus. "A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel dwells safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." So can we say clearly that Jesus is our righteousness? That he's the Lord our righteousness? He's what makes us righteous? But was this prophecy fulfilled with the first coming of Jesus? No, it's not, because does Israel dwell safely right now? Nobody believes that in Israel. So it had a near fulfillment in Jesus becoming the Lord our righteousness. But then, as often happens in the scriptures, the prophecies, there's a near fulfillment, but you go, wow, but it's not totally fulfilled yet. That's the second coming of Jesus, when he will bring safety and peace to the nation of Israel during his millennial reign on earth. And then verse 7, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt," but they'll change to saying this, "as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." So how long were they saying, you know, "as the Lord lives, who delivers out of Egypt"? How long did that last? That lasts from the time they came out of Egypt, which is around 1500 BC, to 586 BC, because then they got all carried off to Babylon, which is to the north. But Jeremiah is going to prophesy that they're going to be 70 years in captivity total from 605 BC until Cyrus gave the decree for them to return. And so then people say, "as the Lord lives, who brought us back from Babylon." But is that what this prophecy is? Is this prophecy totally fulfilled by saying, "as the Lord lives, who brought us out of Babylon"? No, because it says, "and as the Lord lives, who brought us and led us the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country," which is, even though Babylon's east, you go up the Tigris Euphrates Valley and come down from Syria, so you come from the north, "and from all the countries where I had driven them." Well, there were other countries besides Babylon that some of the Jews went to as a result of the Babylonian captivity. But what do you think he's saying here? This is also going to be fulfilled. It's being fulfilled in our day, because Jews have been coming from all over the world to come back into the land of Israel. And in fact, it was partially fulfilled by the coming back from Babylon and the other countries they went to. But it's going to be fully fulfilled now and when Jesus comes to everybody that's going to be gathered from all over the world, every Jew that survives, because they'll see him and they'll look on him and when they have pierced, and all Israel will be saved. Then they're all going to be going in Israel, and Jesus is going to be their king during the millennial reign. They're all going to be there. And I was talking to Aaron Lipkin. Everybody remember Aaron Lipkin? He came here and told us about Mount Ebal. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then go to our website, calvarypo.org, go to the video section, our YouTube channel, and search on Aaron Lipkin. And he taught for almost 2 hours here, Q&A, along with the archaeological discovery of a lead tablet on Mount Ebal. And he and I were Zooming on Monday, because he's in Israel. He's activated by the military to take care of his town as a national defense. And I wanted to pick his brain about what's really going on in Israel. And he's noticing in an article, it states that Jews, because of the anti-Semitism, it's like, look at, I mean, imagine a Jew today, like, the whole world hates us. The whole world hates us. Why? Because we just won't go die. That's really, can you imagine that? That everybody hates you because you don't die? You don't stop trying to defend yourself. Everybody wants to annihilate you. But the anti-Semitism in the world, I've been thinking for months and talked to other people about this too. What's it really doing? It's fulfilling this prophecy. Because people are realizing, you know, I'm living in Europe because I got a job, I got this and this, but everybody hates me and wants to kill me. Where do you go if you're a Jew and you're hated, and every day you walk home, you wonder whether you're going to be killed? You go to Israel. And this is a news article from the Jerusalem Post back in February 22. Aliyah, how do you say that? Aliyah to Israel, which is means people coming to Israel, Jews returning to the Promised Land. Aliyah to Israel rises after wave of anti-Semitism. 237% more from France. Just France, 7,000 new immigrants had arrived since October 7th. And this is in February. From October to February, 7,000 Jews that were living in France picked up and went home. Because they know that it's the only place that you can be where, and it's not like you're not being killed by living in Israel. And that's the other thing that Aaron told me. He says, Kevin, my world right now is, do I have my guns ready? Do I have enough ammo so that when the Arab villages around, you know, close to my area don't decide to become the fifth column in the land of Israel from being in Samaria, our Samaria, where they're just going to just run through, you know, just make it into my town and try out and do October 7th in the town that I'm responsible for. And that's true of everybody that lives anywhere close to an Arab village that right now they're being quiet, but we know they have. Iran's been smuggling the weapons into these areas, and at any moment, our whole country, every single city can become an October 7th, and that's my world right now. And so he talked about that and several other things. But here we're living in a time where this is being fulfilled. The day is going to come where I will bring my Jews back from every nation of the world. All the places they've been scattered through the years. And that is coming. Jeremiah 23:9. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. And he's talking about, this is Jeremiah speaking, are broken because of the prophets. What does he mean? They're broken because of the false prophets. All of my bones shake. I mean, I can't believe it. Just what the prophets have done. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. He's basically saying, I know God's word. I know what's happening. I know what's about to happen to this nation that has rebelled against God. But all these false prophets are putting all the people to sleep. They don't know what's happening. And I feel like a drunk in the sense that I see what's happening. I can do nothing about it. I'm just grieved out of my mind, is what he's saying. And when you really look at the nation of Israel, and he's talking about priests and prophets here. He's going to do so in a minute. Who are they? They're the teachers of the people of Israel. That's their job. I mean, the schools, everything, their school and everything was synagogue, what the Word of God says from the priest. And when they stop doing that and they teach falsely, then Jeremiah is realizing, I have the true Word of God. I know what's really happening. They've shelved the law of Moses. They're worshiping idols. The school teachers are telling them there is no God. The school teachers are telling them, in a sense, let's modernize it, that there is no God that we need to talk about in school. We've evolved. It's survival of the fittest. Everything's by time and chance. Man just invented God. There's no taboos on sexual relationships because that's that old-fashioned God thing that needs to be replaced. There's just, you can do whatever you want to. You can, whatever feels good, do it. And everything else. And so, don't you feel like Jeremiah? Don't you feel like, I know the truth. I know all that's a lie. But the teachers of our society, the media, the movies, the teachers at the public school systems, the universities, Are any of them teaching the fear of God, the love of God, the love of His Word? And so we should see that and do whatever we can to stop it within our own families by saying, don't listen to the false teachers, because we should feel like Jeremiah. I mean, I am at a loss to even live seeing what's about to happen. Verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers, spiritual adulterers, people that are going after other gods, even physical adulterers. For because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil and their might is not right. The land is full of people that are unfaithful to their creator. Is our land filled with people that are unfaithful to their creator? Yeah, they don't even acknowledge for the most part that he exists, except for the Christians. As a result, the land is cursed by climate change. As a result, things, you know, in his day, they couldn't blame it on cloud seeding or anything else or even false scientific stuff, but they were truly experiencing droughts, which God said would happen as a result of turning away from God. They lived wicked lives and used their might to make it continue. Their might is not right. Has the system of spreading a lie been given extreme power by the legislative branches of our government? So they take the power of the government to enforce doing what's evil and to take away the ability to do what's right or to even teach what's right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Verse 11. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. They're profane. Our prophets and priests, our educational media, every way that information gets into our society, they're profane. And we have to warn our children about that. Can it also be found in the church congregations to do? Are the pulpits of America the last bastion of proclaiming the truth and that we are not allowing any adulterous, profane things to come into the church? No, sadly, it's not just the media out there. It's even people flocking to places of religious worship that are getting the lie as well, which was exclusively the way it was in Jeremiah's day, because all of it was centered around go to synagogue and what the Jewish nation was. But here we've got society and the church, and the church is supposed to be fighting society, fighting the lies. Therefore, their way shall be to them like slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, says the Lord. There's a time coming, despite their belief that they're untouchable, despite the belief that there is no God, there is, and I'm going to bring judgment, God is saying. Verse 13, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. Now, in the time Jeremiah is the prophet, what's happened to Samaria already? It's already been destroyed. God sent the prophets to northern Israel. Samaria was their capital. Sent prophets to them. Every single king of Israel was a wicked king. They all rejected the prophets. They killed the prophets. And then they were destroyed. So now Jeremiah is saying, you know, God is reminding them, I've seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. Guess what happened to them? They got judged. They prophesied by Baal. They were prophesying by the idols of their gods. And they caused my people Israel to err. They caused my people Israel to err to the point where they were judged and destroyed by the Assyrians. Also, verse 14, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. So I saw it, and you guys saw it. You saw that Israel went into captivity. You know, they got hauled away. And now I see the same thing in Jerusalem. They commit adultery, probably spiritually mostly because of false idols, but also along with immorality of idols, goes, you know, people get into sexual immorality too. And they walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. So What was Jerusalem doing? Becoming major, following in the footsteps of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sexual immorality, homosexuality. I'm sure they had transvestites, the whole thing that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And because they have turned away, they're committing adultery. They strengthen the hands of evildoers, or evildoers as defined by God. And once again, is the legislation, has it strengthened the hands of evildoers in that way? You can't even hardly turn around. I think about it today, even if people were to, they've made so many laws to govern the school systems and what the school systems are required to put out, that if you became a school board member, I think I mentioned this, sorry if I'm repeating myself, but if you become a school board member, I've been thinking about this, you couldn't say, okay, we're pulling all this curriculum out, we're going to stop doing this, and then, oh, you can. You can't do that. This is state law. This is national law. This came out of the Department of Education from Washington, D.C. This is what must be preached. So you can't even see the strength. They've given strength to wickedness, to hands of evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. And once again, I just put this out to say, what really did happen to the people Jeremiah was prophesying to? They got judged. If we're a lot like that, then what's going to happen for us, especially since God says in the last days people are going to get judged, it's going to get judged. But one of the things I learned this week is, how many of you have heard that the millions of immigrants that have come through are partially being brought here so that they can vote for the leftist communists? How many of you have heard that? Okay. Now when you vote, you have to be able to vote, you have to swear that you're a citizen, right? So people are saying that can't be true, because you have to be a citizen. Are you aware that that's what it says? You got to be a citizen. But what I just found out this week by somebody that looked at the actual law that deals with voting and citizenship, you get to the very end of the law and there's a little fine print. All they have to do is believe that they were a citizen at the time they voted. So then you sit there and they go, well, but still, if there is no way they can believe that they were a citizen because they're not a citizen, because they didn't go through the steps of becoming a citizen, then no, that can't be true. That can be, you know, that was written for the person that I submitted my paperwork and I know I did everything right. And I got something back that said I was a citizen, but then they had a problem, you know, that it sounds like it's covering that, but no, it's if you believe. Now, what if these people come across and all the globalists that are running our government right now just train everybody to say, I believe I'm a citizen? Or even if you hear the president and other people slipping at times saying, you know, they're citizens, they're coming here to be citizens. And so, well, the president of the United States said that I was a citizen. I'm coming here to be a citizen. And actually, here's the real test. Let's say I want to say, I identify as a woman. Am I allowed to identify as a woman? You have to affirm me identifying as a woman. And so if we can identify, a man can identify as a woman, or a woman can identify as a man, then why can't a non-citizen identify as a citizen and get away with it in our legal system that has set this whole thing up to be able to corrupt our country? Is there any doubt that there's a plan to completely rig the next election? And they'll get away with it, because you know what it would take? It would take a Justice Department. The Justice Department is going to say, it says right here, as long as you believe you were a citizen. And that's what they said. But we there is no greater way that the hands have been strengthened of evildoers so that no one can turn back from the plan to bring wickedness totally, globally, to this new world order that's about to come on this world big time. As we become like Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible, once again, here, this verse itself is just so applicable to our culture. Verse 15, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, concerning the prophets, false prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Consequences of you guys that spread false and you make your little laws and you do your little corruption, guess what? You're going to eat dirt. When the judgment comes, you're going down. Your little utopia isn't going to keep you from the judgment of God. Your plans of utopia. Thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 16, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. And this is the title of today. You know, I take words out of this line here. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. This is a line that I would encourage all parents, grandparents, great-grandparents to share with your people when they're watching godless movies, playing godless games, listening to godless curriculum, godless schools, telling, you know, that if they have to go to public school, their message will make you worthless. Because the only thing that has worth is the word from the mouth of the Lord. It really is, and we have to tell ourselves too, if we're being tempted into the lusts and pleasures of the world, things that will make me worthless because they go after the idolatry of the things of the world. Then we need to just realize it's going to make me worthless. The only thing that matters is the Word of God. I should be spending this time studying my Word. I should be spending this time praying. I should be spending this time telling people about the truth. Warn ourselves as well. We should only be listening to the truth of the Word of God. And, you know, here in a minute, Jeremiah is going to be saying, but nobody wants to do the Word of God. They want to listen to dreams. That's what they want to do. Whatever dream or whatever book comes out, new curriculum, something, anything but sitting down and reading the Word of God. They, false prophets, verse 17, continually say to those who despise me, the Jews that hate God, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Hey, peace, everything. The peace sign. Take drugs, LSD, worship other gods, all this other stuff. Peace, brother. And that's what the false prophets do. Peace. And do the dictates of your own heart. Whatever you feel like doing, just go after that and everything will be okay. No evil is going to come upon you. Verse 18, for who has stood in the council of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? It's really, the false prophets haven't even sat down and read the law of God. They don't read it, they don't teach it, they don't know it, etc. And the same is in our culture. So everybody's going, do what you want to do. There's not going to be any judgment. Why? Because they don't know what the Bible says. What's our mission? To help them know what the Bible says. Because when everybody goes after everything but the Word of God, what happens to the nation? It becomes a godless nation. Completely godless nation. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. And then what's the time applicability to this? In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. So, the whirlwind really has, in the Hebrew, it's talking about like a hurricane. It's like an incredible hurricane wind. So there's going to be calamities, even in, you know, massive hurricanes, massive destructions, tornadoes, everything else that are going to be happening during the days of the tribulation. And people in the last days will understand perfectly what Jeremiah prophesied in this chapter, is what it's saying. I have not sent these prophets, verse 21, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. What typifies every revival that's ever hit the planet since Jesus? The Word of God. It's the emphasis, people wanting to hear the Word of God. I was part of the early days of the Jesus movement. You know what, everybody my age, and I mean, I'm young, I'm 20. What was everybody into? I want to know the Word of God. I want to know how to witness to my friend. I want to know what this Bible teaches. It was a revival that they wanted to know, wanted to hear. And what God says is, the only thing that turns people away from evil instead of listening to their own hearts and their own false teachers is the Word of God. So what should our emphasis be that I kind of emphasized on Tuesday? Our emphasis should be to this world. You've got to read the Word of God. That's why we emphasize our tracts are, here's a book of John, read it. Here's a whole Bible, read it. Because it has the power, the Word of God has the power to convict somebody that's wrapped up in a lie to come to the truth. One of my fellow Calvary pastors sent this Tuesday as an email, and it's called The Long Game. And in fact, our website will have a link to this article, which is really an interesting article. It's The Long Game by Rosaria Butterfield. And this was written May 18th, 2024, so last month, not even a month ago. And what she does here is she lays out the story of how she went from being a rabid leftist agitator for the LGBT movement, working towards same-sex marriages and everything else, that ended up repenting, ended up getting married, having a child, and how that happened. And this is, I'm going to read some of this article, and then I'd encourage you, it's 6 pages. My Christian neighbor knocked on my door and asked if we could talk. I smiled, but he looked uncharacteristically burdened. My just waking toddler snuggled on my hip. Her hair smelled of apple juice and yogurt. The guy says, I've been praying for a woman who is or was a lesbian professor from Syracuse University. Her name was on a prayer list for the graduate students in the philosophy group. I have been praying for her since 1997. I think she is you. I felt gut punched. Were you Rosario campaign? My neighbor asked gently. So this neighbor came and said, are you the one? And then she gives the rest of the story here, that there was a Christian guy that came and said, you know, hey, I want to talk to you about Jesus. And yeah, I'd like to have you over for dinner. And so she decided to go. She said it for a while, she was just saying, hey, and I'm going to use them as an unknowing freebie for writing more against these Christians, you know, collecting information. But what they did is they lovingly, he and his wife, a pastor, and his wife lovingly communicated to her the gospel. She said over hundreds of meals of Bible and beans and rice, she realized that she needed to get right with God. And she repented. It was the Word of God. A loving family, instead of condemning her, look at what she's doing, she's destroying the country, whatever else, somebody knocked and said, you know, I want to talk. You wrote this article in the local newspaper, and I want to have some time with you if you would have it. And a pastor led her to Jesus. And so you can read the whole article when we post the link to it on our website for this study on our calvarypo.org station. And so once again, what is the way that we solve the problems in our country? Get the Word of God into people. Get them to, is everybody going to embrace it like she did? No. Are some going to? Well, obviously she did. It took a radical feminist, agitator, everything else. But she was ignorant. She was deceived by Satan. She didn't know the truth. But Jeremiah said, but if you hear my, if somebody gives them, if a true prophet comes along, causes my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. This is our mission. Lovingly communicating the truth. Verse 23, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Yeah. What's God saying? I see you. When somebody that you know is really evil and coming against you and stuff, you know, guess what? I see you. What are you talking about? I'm just saying what God just said. I see you. I see what you're doing. You're not going to get away with your rebellion, is what God's saying. You false prophets, you ignore the fact that I'm the God who created the heavens and the earth, and I see everything that's going on, and you have blown me out of your life, but I'm here, and I'm watching what you're doing. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. So what should a true prophet do? Teach people what God has said, that what the true God has said. What do false prophets do? I had a dream. We're all going to go to heaven. You know, I had a dream that I died, and I came back to life, and I just went down this tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel, there was a great light, and it was embracing everybody, everybody's religion and everything else, and we all got to God and be in a happy place. You know, people write books about these dreams, so-called dreams, or even the beyond and back experiences people say they have. And people will buy those by the millions, and they'll leave their Bible sitting on the table collecting dust because they want to hear somebody's dream. They want to hear somebody's book. What does the astrology page say? What does a psychic in town say? What about crystal ball gazers? Oh, don't believe in that Bible. It's just written by man. But I love my astrologer. And then it's bad in Christian bookstores too. How many have heard of the book called Jesus Calling? Extremely popular, millions and millions and millions sold by a lady who professed to be a Christian. Her name was Sarah Young. She got millions of people to stop reading the Bible and to read her books because she had dreams. She would get into a room and say, I got close to God and he started speaking to me. Jesus was calling me and this is what he was saying. People wanted to know what God was saying through a lady rather than the prophets of God who have stood the test of time. And then when people started looking at, well, wait a second, you know, if you're hearing that from God, what you just said here, 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 and here is a violation of the gospel of Jesus according to the word of God. And so are we supposed to listen to you tell us what God says in contradiction to the Bible? I mean, there's other people that do that, like Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and all these other cult groups. You're a cult leader. And then what, you know what she and her publisher do? They make new additions and take out the blatant errors that are in the book. Instead of getting on our face and confessing to the world, I told you I had dreams and heard from God and I was a liar. You better get back to the real word of God and stop buying people's books like me and making me rich. You got to stop doing this. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? You guys want to tell a dream? You want to write a book? You want to go get rich in this world and lie to people about who I am? Okay, go ahead, do it. But, you know, the people that tell people what my word says, well, then praise God for them. It's just like the chaff and the wheat. What happens to the chaff? Gets burned up. What happens to the wheat? It goes into the barn. Anybody here want to be like chaff? Don't put your dreams above the Word of God. Don't worry about the astrology page. Burn it. It's not a big deal. I don't even read fortune cookies. You know, if I eat a fortune cookie because they taste good, I'll break it open. I came from an occultic, you know, New Age background. So for me, I don't even take it. I don't even care what it says. But some people, they actually live like that is more important than anything God could have ever said in his word. Verse 29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, false prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Amen. You know what? Sarah Young should have read Jeremiah before she said, I'm writing a book about what God says to you. He says, behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. So God makes it perfectly clear that we are sheep. And the sheep are led by a shepherd. And it's either the true shepherd, the God of this Bible, or it's a shepherd of the false voices that are in the world, which are many. That Satan inspires the school systems, the media, the social networking, the apps, all these things that are in our culture today, striving for the time of our children's brains, that they are going to be led astray if they are not listening to the truth. They will always err. And we'll close with verse 23. So when these people or the prophet or the priest ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. Now it's a little complicated, and the rest of the verses are here complicated, you know, go along with this, but we'll unwrap that next week. I'm getting more fanatic about this with my own family and everybody else, and I want you to join me. Will you be joining me in being fanatic about one thing? Have you read your Bible today? Okay, that's my thing, is with everybody that we know, have you read your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? And you know what? Sometimes I get a really good answer from the people I ask. And when the other ones, not happened yet. When I know it hasn't, you know, and they know they're answering a question from a month or two ago, you've got to. The emphasis then is you have to. You have to, because if you're not opening your Bible, you are not getting the Word of God, which means what you're getting all day long are false prophets and people that are causing you to err, that will cause you to be destroyed, to take your life away from the true God who came to save you. And it has to get into our life devotionally, and it's not like I'm going to read it because Kevin says so. I'm going to read it because this is the very words of God. This is the God who created the heavens and the earth. This is the God who is truly going to bring judgment upon this earth. This is the God that calls me, tells me what's evil and what's good, and I want to walk in goodness. I want to walk in righteousness and not in evil in any way in my life. And his word has the power to make that happen. It'll keep me from error and from thinking groupthink. You know, we don't want to think groupthink. We want to think Godthink. Because groupthink always leads people into the pit of hell. And so that's what we want to do. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. And I just rejoice that, Lord, this pastor that had the heart and the love and the knowledge of your word to spend hours and hours, he and his wife, with this lady that had been deceived to be a major advocate of a lie, that your word was a powerful, powerful tool in the hand of your Holy Spirit to convict her and to truly cause her to bring repentance into her life and change, and to now be a voice for righteousness and for goodness, for testifying of you, the Creator, and the wickedness of sexual immorality, so that she could be turned to relationship with you. And then what amazed her so much is your Bible taught that you wanted to have a relationship with her. And the fact that you did so love us, that you sent Jesus so that we could be in that relationship through love, is an awesome thing, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning. me, Jesus. I cross all caring, till I see Jesus. I cross all caring, till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
How could we turn back? I mean, truly saved people know that the path we're on was everlasting damnation. There is no turning back. The cross is before us. The world is behind us. The world's going away. God bless you. Keep you in his care till we can fellowship again.